Well, with the UN Climate Summit in Glasgow in its final throes, the United Kingdom hosts have just published a first draft of a COP26 deal. It asks countries to revisit and strengthen their 2030 emissions targets to align with the 1.5-degree threshold set at the Paris conference. It also calls on countries to accelerate phasing out of coal and subsidies for fossil fuels. The Glasgow Agreement comes down to a lot of detail and sector-by-sector action. For example, in health, a group of more than 50 countries has committed to reduce emissions across their health systems, but Australia is not among them. Rachel Mealy prepared this report.
Thank you, everyone. It's been a long day and we're not finished yet, but it has been a good day so far, I believe.
The Glasgow Climate Summit is entering its final days and delegates from 197 countries are putting their heads together to reach an agreement. But will any deal do enough to address climate change? Ian Lowe is Emeritus Professor in the School of Environment and Science at Griffith University.
The pledges that have been made so far can potentially bend the emissions curve downward, but there's still a gap in both ambition and, I suppose, confidence that those ambitions will be realised.
A global coalition of researchers thinks that even if all the commitments on the table in Glasgow are fulfilled, the planet would still be on track for an increase of close to 2.5 degrees by the end of the century. Professor Lowe says coming in under the desired goal of 1.5 degrees will only happen if negotiating countries bring more to the table.
Several countries have stepped up their ambition. Unfortunately, Australia hasn't. But most developed countries have stated increased ambitions. And if those pledges are turned into practice, and that's a big if, but if they are turned into practice, there's now a fighting chance of keeping the increase in average global temperature below 2 degrees.
At the 2009 climate change conference in Copenhagen, developed countries promised $100 billion a year to help developing countries fight climate change. Xie Junhua, who's China's special envoy for climate change affairs, says the developed countries haven't delivered on that promise and it's becoming a major sticking point in Glasgow.
Unfortunately, so far we've only got $80 billion and we're still $20 billion short. We hope to see a clear schedule and roadmap on when we will get the money and how much we will get. This is one of the major disagreements among countries. It is an important issue to build mutual political trust and a major concern for developing countries.
Professor Lowe says it's unlikely this hurdle will come down in the next few days.
I'm not very confident, and that's a real worry, because if the developing world is to achieve the level of material comfort that they understandably aspire to and that we take for granted, there has to be significant assistance from the developed world who've caused most of the problem.
Countries represented at Glasgow have done a sector-by-sector breakdown of their economies to find out where cuts can be made. 53 countries have now agreed to cut emissions from their health sectors, but Australia isn't one of them. Fiona Armstrong is the founder and executive director of the Climate and Health Alliance.
The healthcare sector globally is around 4% of global emissions, and in Australia, partly due to our very fossil fuel intensive energy system, healthcare emissions in Australia account for around 7%. So a lot of that is public and private hospitals and the pharmaceutical industry. So manufacturer, transport, distribution of pharmaceuticals is also very carbon intensive.
She says Australia could easily increase its Glasgow commitment just by looking at this sector.
So there's a lot going on in Australia to move in that direction, but it's largely voluntary. It's not supported by policy. And there's very much a growing appetite and a willingness among the state and territory governments, at least, to lead on this.
The Federal Health Department told us the states and territories have primary responsibility for managing emissions, but it's working with them to address issues relating to both the health impacts of climate change and the sustainability of the healthcare system.
Rachel Mealy with that report.